Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome, Catholic Answers Live. I can't believe it's Monday again. It took forever to get here. It's so nice to be back. Thank you for being here with us. Great show for you today. Tom Nash, first hour. We're going to talk about the Catholic priesthood. Second hour, we're going to talk about the Queen of Heaven. She's got a big day coming up in a few days, a big celebration. That is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we'll talk about her as the Queen of Heaven. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you've got a question about the Catholic priesthood this hour, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're a priest or not, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Feels so good to be back here, and it's always good to be back here with you, Mr. Tom Nash. Hello, Tom Nash.
Hello, brother. Good to be with you and our audience. Praise God.
So you ready with all? Have you been studying the Catholic priesthood all weekend? You've been boning up, getting ready, making sure that you are.
Interestingly enough, I'm doing a new version, a new edition, a second edition of my book that I wrote 20 plus years ago on the biblical case for the Eucharist, for the Mass, and so I was.
Oh, so you are actually paying attention to the priesthood, yeah?
Yeah. So it's a win-win double dovetailing.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question about the priesthood, because people, I think, don't understand a priestly celibacy. Mm. And there's one set line of questioning that's like, why do we have priestly celibacy? What, you know, or yeah, all that. But I don't even think we know what priestly celibacy is. I think most people don't know. So all I want you to tell me is, what's the difference between celibacy and chastity?
Okay. And these apply not just to the priest, but priesthood, but in general. I mean, celibacy is a state of life in which one is not married. Now, chastity is a virtue which is and is inclusive of abstaining from any immoral sexual conduct, that is, from the morally illicit conjugal relations between a husband and wife, although a husband and wife, because they are called, they themselves are called to live chastely, that is, to be faithful to one another. So they have their own call to chastity, but oftentimes when we think of chastity, it's...
So marital chastity is the same thing as, or roughly the same thing as we would think of, like modern people would say, fidelity. That is,
yeah, there you go.
You only... Our partner, you only engage in this act with this one person. But chastity for everyone else is refraining until or unless you are married.
Precisely.
And
precisely.
Celibacy is not what modern people go, you hear people say this on TV shows, I'm being celibate.
Yeah.
Well, that literally means I'm just being unmarried.
Yes. Celibacy is a state of unmarriage. Within the priesthood, it means living chastely. That's what we talk about, living eunuchs for the kingdom, Matthew 19, verses 10 to 12, being single for the sake of the kingdom with God's grace. But we know that there are many men in the world who are celibate that are not married, maybe even confirmed bachelors, as they might refer to themselves, but unfortunately not living in chaste relationships. Now, it's important in studying for the priesthood, and our friends at the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame recently published a document last month on preparing a document on strengthening seminary formation for priests and better assessing candidates for, you know, the related
sacrament. Okay, is that about whether these men can live celibately or chastely or both?
Well, both, because eunuchs for the kingdom implies eunuchs don't have any conjugal sexual relations. So, yeah, they have to live single for the kingdom. So it was all about trying to help with that. But, you know, there's a larger question which applies not just to the priesthood side, but for all of us, and just particularly for single people, including myself. How can God expect us to live as chaste single persons? You know, it's because it's a lonely experience, you know, whether you're a priest, vowed religious, single person. But the point is that God gives us the grace to do so, not that we can grit our teeth and do it, or white knuckle, as sometimes people will point out to it. I'm grinning and bearing it, but rather in a joyful manner through the power of the sacraments. Our great friend, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he lived celibacy and chastity par excellence. And one of the reasons he did so was, he's being beatified in September next month, is he had the daily holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So that not only just taking, living a good sacramental life, having good fellowship, but having that good interior life. And we're all called to do that so that we can, you know, live that way and live it joyfully. Because, you know, as much as they talk about secular society, oh, you're all pent up and you're so restrictive, et cetera, it's like, we know that unchaste relationships don't deliver side, because even the terms that our society uses convey that reality, that they are not true, don't deliver true and lasting fulfillment. That is, consider the terms going back to even when we were kids, fling, affair, one night stand, more recently, hookup. All these denote a fleeting pleasure and a reminder that sin always takes much, much more than it delivers. So people say, well, what about living together, cohabitation? But that's not dishonest. That even doesn't meet the standards of natural marriage, which is until death do us part, apart from the sacrament, which, of course, husbands are called to lay down their lives for their wives as Christ for the church. And we can only do that with the power of the sacraments, the power of a good, faithful life. And so it just is a reminder that we're all called to seek the kingdom first, to live chaste life, help each other live chaste life, so that we can give a fruitfully, pun intended, chaste relationship to the world. And so when we see that Christ enables us to live this way, yeah, is there a cross involved? Sure, but there's a cross involved in anything that's worthwhile or in terms of discipline, right? Discipline in doing your work and showing up every day, discipline in becoming a great athlete or a great whatever one's hobby is, so too in the faith life in general. But it's all for our good. It's redemptive suffering ordered towards the resurrection of to experience what Christ is experiences on Easter Sunday in our own lives, and so that we can live joyfully for the kingdom.
888-318-7884, the number. We're talking the priesthood with Tom Nash. All right, so which thing then mm-hmm. is required of Catholic priests, celibacy or chastity?
Both. They cannot be married.
Okay.
But you know, some people say, oh, I'm being living celibate. Well, okay, that's good. But one's called to live chaste. Because hypothetically, I mean, as I say, it implies if you're a Catholic priest, that celibacy should imply if one is prepared well and living as one knows one is called to, because they take a promise of celibacy. At least Latin rite priests take a excuse me, they take a promise of celibacy, but that implies also living a chaste life.
Yeah.
So that implies it's, but celibacy by itself means unmarried life. Within the context of the Catholic priesthood, especially the Latin Western Rite, because our Eastern brothers can be married before they become priests, within the Latin Rite, for one who is going to live a celibate life, it implies living it as chaste and to be like St. Paul. St. Paul, single for the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 7, he goes into great detail about that. He says, wish that you were like I. But he also points out that he is spiritually fecund, that is spiritually fruitful, because he is a father in Christ, as he says, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. He says that to the Corinthians. So he is spiritually fruitful in that regard. And so we see that he is called to a fatherhood of a different order and a very fruitful one and a very high one.
And it is a call that you mentioned Fulton Sheen, who you called our friend Fulton Sheen,
yeah.
Meaning that we love him, not like we didn't used to hang out with Fulton Sheen.
Nobody,
or something,
but
right?
The beauty of the church is we are the communion of saints, church yeah. suffering, church militant, church triumphant, and that he has gone before us. But he is our friend and a true related by grace.
So a person like
yeah.
Fulton Sheen
yeah.
is an example that. I think some people honestly think, Tom, that a chaste and celibate life is impossible. They
yeah.
think that's impossible.
And I, as a man who's been single his whole life and still hopefully get married, maybe that's another show. But the point is, I am called.
Ladies.
Now stop. No.
Tom Nash making a call out right now.
No.
Call
no.
the show. 888.
Stop it.
318-7884. Go ahead. Go on.
More to the point that I am called. Then I know that. And I love that we have the Blessed Sacrament here in the office and to commune with the Lord, to grow that cultivation of being one with the Lord. We're all, in one sense, have that spiritual marriage with the Lord. But to live chastely, to have the strength with the Lord, to be able to do that, I need to rely on the Lord and to be childlike, docile to the Lord, yes. Childlike, not childish.
888-318-7884. I agree with you. I know a lot of listeners are thinking it's offensive for Tom to use the show as his own dating platform. Oh,
I realize there's probably a lot of people that are offended
with that, but still, I'm sure we're going to have a great hour. Call with your questions about the Catholic priesthood, 888-318-7884. You should be ashamed of yourself, Tom. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool and your homeschool co-op, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2015. EWTN opens its West Coast studio on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Orange, California, enabling EWTN to produce new programming that will bring the people and the stories of the faith that make up the church in Southern California to our global audience.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Tom Nash, our guest. Your questions about the priesthood. Welcome. If you have any kind of question about the Catholic priesthood, you are very welcome here. 888-318-7884. Whether it's a curious question, a challenging question, whether you ask it from inside the church or outside the church, we'd be happy to talk about the Catholic priesthood with you. 888-318-7884. Off we go to Arcanum, Ohio. Simon from Ohio, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Hi. I'm not from Arkham Asylum.
You knew what that was. I'm so happy that you knew what that was.
I think you guys should explain it to the listeners.
That's the other side of town, yeah.
Oh, that's the other side of town. Okay, go ahead. Boy, you are a joker, aren't you, Simon?
Thank you for taking my call. Very good, very good. Hey, my wife and I, we're inching closer and closer towards Catholicism.
Yes, sir.
She grew up Catholic, and then I dragged her away into the church that I grew up in, a Church of the Brethren, which is pretty big around my area of Ohio.
Okay.
Not because I had any theological, like, grounding here, but that's just what I grew up in.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
We read John 6 and kind of realized the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and so we couldn't really stay where we're staying.
Yes, sir.
Anyhow, so we're going to a Lutheran church right now because I'm trying desperately not to become Catholic.
Oh, we're going to fight you on that.
Are you Missouri Synod, by the way? Missouri Synod Lutheran?
No, there aren't any of those around where I'm from. I'm going to an LCMC church right now. We're taking what we can get. And they're great people there. Regardless, my question regarding the priesthood. I understand that in Catholicism, it's a sacrament, and that's not true for most other varieties of Christianity.
Yes.
And with it being a sacrament, I understand there is, during the ordination process, there is that laying on of hands, and there is a bestowing or a request for the Holy Spirit to fill our priesthood with grace.
Yes,
and my problem is that, and I don't even know if it's a problem, but my question is that I don't always see, when you see scandals, when you see bad popes, when you see all of the frustrating political things that occur, I'm wondering where is the, I understand the theology, but I don't see in practice that extra grace, that extra, if you guys could help me out, I'd appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure, brother, first and foremost, as always, Christ is our high priest, and everything we believe in the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church goes back to our founder, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, he's the high priest of heaven. And there are those beginning with, as we saw one fell away with Judas, who was there at the Last Supper, ordained and yet went astray. But that is not to make an excuse. No doubt it is a scandal. And yet, because if the Catholic Church were a merely human institution, as I say to reassure people, we'd have been out of business centuries ago, not only because of the attacks from without, beginning with the Roman Empire, but also because of scandals from within, God of mercy. And so I think the key is that, like any other sacrament, I mean, like confirmation or baptism, that grace is received according to the disposition of the receiver. And so I think the priests who are living morally problematic lives get the headlines, and yet those who are living faithful lives don't. And now one abusive priest is one too many. And yet the estimate from the John Jay was at 4% of the priests in past decades. Now that's four, again, one is one too many, 4% is far too many. But it does give an indication that most priests are not being abusive in that regard. So to give that a little context. And I think, again, it's regarding the individual. And when we see, if we want to know if Catholicism works, first of all, if the church is the church, we wouldn't have been around for 2,000 years. And we see that it's founded by Christ, sustained by Christ. And if we want to see whether Catholicism works, we look at the lives of the saints. Whether, you know, St. Damian of Molokai, who leaves Belgium to go to help the people in Hawaii and then ultimately to the island of Molokai and transform that modern metaphor for hell into a prayer sanctuary, transforming that place. If we want to see if the sacraments work, the grace works, we look to the saints. And so I would not let the example, I would also first of all say again, not to overestimate the percentage of priests who've acted badly, not to make any excuses. It's a scandal, it's wrong, and that's why it had to be cleaned up. But to look at all the holy priests who might not get the headlines, and the second, when we have any doubts, look at the saints. They show it how it is. And again, our Lord Jesus Christ, our founder, who sustains us. And knowing that everyone has free will, and sadly some people don't exercise, and some of those people are in prominent positions.
Right, that makes absolute sense. You know, I look at a lot of, and I've got a lot of great Christians examples who live around us. And what I'm the type of guy who gets way too far stuck into the theology and the books and everything. Mm-hmm. But then I have to take a step back, and I realize I have all of these amazing Christian families who are not Catholic who live around me, and I struggle with. I go, well, you know, they have produced awesome families. And that's really, I've got two young kids, and I want to raise them and foster a good Christian lifestyle into them. And I go, well, these people don't seem to be missing anything not being Catholic.
Mm. Yeah.
This is an unrelated question from the priesthood, and I apologize for that.
No, that's fine.
That's the other thing that's really, I'm struggling with that because, you know, they don't seem to be, A, having the theological problems that I'm having.
Sure. Well, you know what? Maybe, I dare say God has called you, Simon, maybe to be a witness to them. And they say, if Simon becomes Catholic, say, hey, what's going on? Because the church's mission has always been to make disciples of all nations and not to downplay the grace that is active in their lives and the fruitfulness of their lives, but that God is calling us, as we see in John chapter 17, that he, you know, that we may all be one, you know, even as the Father is one. And you can't have that oneness. I mean, you can't get any more one, right, than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet he says it's not something to be achieved, you know, in heaven, but so that the world may know that you have sent me, Father. He says it early in John chapter 17. And so this is to show, okay, that's what they have is great, but there's something more. And they're using maybe, they're responding to the graces of their lives much more than maybe some lukewarm Catholics, God forbid. But this is an opportunity, I think, where you can witness to them and hopefully can plant seeds. And again, I can't judge subjectively where those people are at and what they've all done in their lives and why they're not Catholic. There could be, that's how they were raised, like you say. But this can be, you could be, your, you know, God works through the natural. And I dare say that even though what they are doing, I commend what they're doing, that there's something more for them and for you. And I would encourage you as one who has the light of the graces to become Catholic, to go forward, and that can plant good seeds with them.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I see a lot of the desire in the scripture for one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church.
Sure.
It's hard to square that with anything else, so you're right. Thank you.
Well, God bless you,
Have
son.
You heard of many of our book titles? Do you know any of our book titles?
I'm currently reading through Dr. John Bergsma's book regarding his conversion to Catholicism.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I'm just trying to think of what book we could send you that would make you lose your battle against Catholicism. So I'm trying to think of how we
maybe Trenhorn's book.
Why We're Catholic?
Or the other one, the more recent one. What's my having it? Salvation.
Salvation is from the Church.
Salvation from the Church, or Joe Heschmeyer's book on the Eucharist.
Which one of these? You go ahead and shop. Which one of these sounds like the one that'll get you in the Catholic Church?
Yeah, that Joe Heschmeyer book sounds.
Okay, like we're sending you the Joe Heschmeyer book.
All right.
Thank
you, gentlemen.
Yep. Let us know when your confirmation is.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Simon.
Please call back.
Thank you. Now I forgot which.
The Joe Heschmeyer Eucharist is really Jesus.
Oh, Eucharist. Okay.
And please call back, Simon.
I have to give a note to Edgar, or he won't send the correct book. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you have questions about the Catholic priesthood, you are welcome to call. If you are currently fighting the Catholic Church and you need some help losing that fight, we'd be happy to help you lose as well if we can. Laura called from Port St. Lucie, Florida, the lovely Port St. Lucie on the east coast of Florida. How do priests deal? She didn't want to stay on the phone.
Okay.
How do priests deal with celibacy? What did they do to distract themselves?
What do they do to distract? Well, they are very much ordered toward the kingdom, right? They are celibate. They are single eunuchs for the kingdom, Matthew chapter 19, verse 10 to 12, for the kingdom. So they're very much active in their giving to the church. I love how Mitch Albom, the great writer who did Tuesdays with Maury, he's based in Detroit, Jewish writer, says he distills what his teacher Maury at Brandeis University, he distilled his maxim for living as living is giving. So when we realize as good spiritual life, that's consistent with good Catholic spiritual life, when sometimes we're having difficulties, when we go beyond ourselves and give ourselves to others, volunteer, this, that, the other. We realize, number one, our worth, that you know others have problems, and our worth as well, because we are seeing how we can be effective in serving others. And, you know, not just distract themselves, but to live lives of holiness. So they grow in that daily prayer life. They are called to live, you know, praying the liturgy of the hour. So good, holy good holy life, good interior life, good fellowship with their fellow priests and with good lay people in their parishes. All of this enables them to do it, to live not simply being single, but to live joyful and full lives for the kingdom. That enables them to do it. So the grace of the sacraments, good prayer life, including regular Eucharistic adoration, praying the liturgy of the hours, being active in their parishes, in their various means, and having good fellowship. We all need fellowship. It's good when it says in Genesis 2, I think it's verse 18, is not good for man to be alone. That's not just for people who are called to marriage, but for all of us. We are social people. You know, we see that the eternal exchange of love, that is the Trinity. It talks about that in the Catechism. So too, we are all called to be in communion, in fellowship, in relationship, edifying relationship with each other according to our state of life.
I wonder if really distract yourself is exactly the thing, or is it more like it's more like trying to they live a full life. I mean, I do think there's some of this has got to be related to vocation too.
Yeah, right? And so I was just picking up on using her word distract themselves because it's like, well, gosh, if I can't be married, what am I going to do? Well, you're living because you are called. You are, shall we say, fully attentive to what you're called to, and you have the strength to live that because everybody needs their batteries recharged, so to speak. Everyone needs their time alone, whether married, single, etc., priest. And so that you need that sustenance from God. And that God, I remember somebody told me, I was on the phone, it was a fallen away Catholic who was living an immoral lifestyle. He says, that's not natural regarding being chaste for the kingdom. Whether single, right. And I said, well, I said, you're right. It's not simply natural. It's supernatural. We rely on God's grace, and it becomes not simply possible, but preferable if we are childlike and receive, going back to Simon's question, received docilely and joyfully the strength that God offers us so that we can live chaste lives according to our state of life.
The number here is 888-318-7884. Tom Nash is our guest. We're talking the priesthood this hour. If you've got questions about the Catholic priesthood, you know, something I didn't mention, sometimes those questions involve perhaps a question about a possible vocation for you to the priesthood, if that is the case. Yeah. You're welcome to call. Maybe it's a, you know, sometimes we get a question like this, and these are all right. We welcome these kinds of questions. Why do I have to confess to a priest? Why do I need a priest to help me with my salvation? Why can't I just go directly to Jesus? Whatever your priesthood question is, we are happy to take it here, whether you are Catholic or not. 888-318-7884. Uh-oh, line's starting to fill up here a little bit. Still some lines open, 888-318-7884.
Has a lot of questions about Catholicism. It's a big faith, and it deserves a big book of answers. Well, now it has two. Get the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, and have 300 clear, reliable Catholic answers right at your fingertips whenever something comes up at work, with friends, or around the dinner table. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Want to be a more powerful witness for Christ? One of the most powerful evangelization tools you can acquire is, in fact, courtesy. The apostolate of courtesy is just the message the church needs in this time of diminished social grace. Inspired by St. Francis de Sales, author Robert Grieving shows how everyday manners, whether in conversation or emails, can make us powerful witnesses for Christ. Get the apostolate of courtesy today at shop.catholic.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live, talking about the Catholic priesthood. Tom Nash here to help us do that. Your call's welcome, 888-318-7884. Kevin in Seattle, Washington. Thanks for hanging on there, Kevin. You got a question about the priesthood?
Hey, yeah. I joined the church this Easter and was influenced by you guys, so I wanted to say thank you.
Praise God, brother.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Welcome. Thank you for telling us that.
Praise God.
So anyways, I was in my study, you know, I was convinced about the priesthood and the sacraments, but something I never really learned about was sacramentals. So my question is, what does it mean that a priest has blessed something or someone? Like, what's the difference between like a crucifix and one that is now blessed by a priest besides just saying it's blessed?
Yeah, it means that it's been consecrated for a special purpose. And it's interesting, too, because sometimes in exorcisms, you've seen where cases where holy water makes a difference in dealing with a demon, whereas mere regular water would not. Or, you know, if you have a blessed crucifix, that makes a difference versus some image that is not blessed, that it's been consecrated for particular purposes. We see in Acts chapter 19, right, that the handkerchiefs that were associated with St. Paul and his ministry, because he was holy, that conveyed also to, not because they themselves, objects were holy per se, but because they've been consecrated for good purpose, that they were able to affect blessings. Similarly, we see in the book of Kings, I think it's 2 Kings, where they throw the dead body of a guy who, into a tomb. It turns out it's Elisha's tomb, the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, and that man comes back to life because he comes into contact with the bones of a holy man. So in a sense, a blessing of an object, it sets it apart for consecrated work, as opposed to one that is not blessed. And in addition, for us as persons, when we receive a blessing, that is a conferral of grace through the power of the priesthood onto us, and we receive it according to our disposition to receive. If we're open to it, then we can profit from a priest's blessing. If we're living in sin, then that's going to be an impediment for one's receiving that blessing, because we're living in a way that's contradictory to our stated outward disposition of saying, I want to be blessed, and yet we're not living accordingly. So again, in summary, an object is blessed, becomes a sacramental that's set aside for holy life. We see the power of those things with holy water that is used in baptism, for example. We also see the power because we see it in exorcism, and then for ourselves as individuals, that we profit from a blessing because a priest has been called to bless, as we see going back to the Old Covenant. So in the New Covenant, he can confer a blessing by virtue of his being a priest of God in the New Covenant, and he can therefore give us grace, and that's how he can bless us individually or at the end of Mass is another case.
What do you think?
Awesome.
Did that get at what you wanted?
Awesome. Thank you. Can I ask a...
Yes.
Yeah, it did. Can I ask a follow-up on holy water?
Sure.
Yes.
So I'm used to, like, you walk into Mass and you cross yourself after dipping your hand in the holy water. But I also see some parishes have, like water bottle filling stations, you know, like more kind of like that. So what are the other, like, what do people use holy water for? What are the other...
I'll tell you one
typical
other.
Typical uses or everyday life. I don't know.
Tim Staples always used to tell stories of, you know, he's got 7 kids. He would bless them with the holy water before bed. And he used to basically soak them with holy water before bed. But what might you take holy water home for, Tom?
Well, again, for your children. And again, that's our, as you say, Si, you can take that, you can bless one's house. A parent has the power given by God to bless his children or her children, if it's the mom. So that would be an example, as well as the house. Sometimes you see the blessing of houses by individuals in the house or priests if there have been spiritual problems manifest in there. You mentioned like the little things, the holy, you can have the dip your hand in and bless yourself there, but you can also, it's good that there is an availability of the dispenser because, you know, we're not just going to church to live our lives. It's not once 1 hour a week, but rather that we are called to live holiness throughout our lives and our everyday life, 160 hours, 68 hours a week, not just one. And so that we can take that, bless ourselves regularly by ourselves at home with holy water, bless children, bless God children in my case. I've got a number of God children. When I see them, and if I have holy water available. So these are a way that we can bring holy water into our everyday life. And, you know, some people will go out and, you know, as part of their evangelization, they might put miraculous metals in crevices of maybe a house of ill repute or some problematic thing. I remember somebody did it with a stork selling condoms in Washington, D.C. Or they might, you know, put some holy water, bless that, you know, and say, Lord, that the people might have conversions and people be resistant to going there who might go there. So various ways it could be used.
I'll tell you what, Kevin, if you give us an address up there in Seattle, We'll send you. We have a little booklet called 20 Answers, Relics and Sacramentals. I think that it for your continued exploration, I think you will enjoy that. So hang on if you want it. We'll send it up to you. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking priesthood. If you've got a priesthood question, you're welcome to call. Joe is in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Joe. Got a priesthood question?
I do, and I guess if there's a Catholic continuum, I'm on the other extreme. I was raised Catholic. It just never made any sense.
But oh, wait, you're on the other extreme from what? Joe, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. So you're on the other extreme from the person who says who likes Catholicism but was not raised Catholic?
Right.
I got you. Okay, so you were raised Catholic, but it just doesn't make sense to you.
Well, I mean, like one of the things you're talking about, holy water. I mean, that's not silly at all, is it? But my question is why is there such a shortage of priests? And before you answer that, I'd like to give you my theory,
okay,
if I may.
Okay.
Because so many of the churches in the St. Louis area, I'm sure like most major cities, are having a difficult time, you know, having priests. So my theory is this, you know, I'm about 70 years old, and when I was growing up, Catholic families traditionally were huge, 10, 12, whatever, children.
Yeah.
And so, and conservatively, I would say that probably 10% of the population, any given population, is probably gay.
10%?
Or some member of the LGBTQ plus. That's a fact. They tell me this. And this is across the board. It's not a choice. You are what you are. So what would happen was when you had these large families, you're going to have at least one gay young man or lesbian girl. I mean, that's just the way it works out. And so you don't want to disappoint your family, particularly if you have a blue-collar father. You think that kid's going to come out as gay? Of course not. He's going to say, oh, I got the calling. That's what they used to call it when I was a kid. He got the calling, as if God sent a message, oh, you're going to be a priest, or to the girls, you're going to be a nun. Well, mom's elated over that, obviously. Dad's not going to be embarrassed by all his buddies, his blue-collar buddies. So he becomes a priest, or she becomes a nun. Well, here comes the 60s and beyond, when LGBTQ plus people we're getting some respect, getting some civil rights. You don't have to hide the way you did, you know, before the 1960s.
Yeah.
You can be proud of who you are. And by the way, full disclosure, I'm straight, but I'm not homophobic. And okay. I think I've spoken to you before, and that is the church, who are they kidding? I mean,
okay,
I could hear it in most priests' voices and the way they act. I mean, it's just silly. There's so much homoerotica in the Catholic Church, you can't deny that.
Okay, well, Joe, I do feel like we let you have your say, and I'm going to come back to you because I really do want you to have your say. I will say this. I don't think the evidence bears out what you're saying. So it's rather than have an argument with you, I'll just tell you what the evidence says. You can check a survey done by the Los Angeles Times, which is not a pro-Catholic outfit. And the percentage of men who are gay in the Catholic priesthood, according to the Los Angeles Times, is very low. So it's higher than in the general population. Also, the generally accepted numbers for people who are attracted to the same sex across cultures, the generally accepted number is somewhere between 2 and 5%. So again, you're very high in your estimates. Finally, I would say your evaluation by the vocal patterns of Catholic priests is meaningless. I don't think you don't sound like you spend any time around Catholic priests. And I don't guess that your gaydar is better than anybody else's. So I will completely dismiss that point. Now, Tom, the question that you asked Tom was, why is there such a shortage of priests? I think your theory is completely wrong. As I told you, I'm going to come back to you and let you make your points. But please have your facts ready, because next time I am going to challenge you on your facts. Tom, why is there such a shortage of priests?
Joe, just a little empathy off the top. I'm 64, so not too far from you. I come from a big Catholic family. I have four older brothers I'm 7 of 8, 9 of 12, when you include the miscarried and a sister older who died shortly after birth. And I also understand, you know, the whole thing of the culture. I think part of the reason that we have, at least in America, because, and sometimes you see this, that it's in countries that are poorer, that an appreciation for the priesthood is higher, and we see this in India, we see this in Africa, and oftentimes in America, since people see the priesthood as upwardly mobile, we see less of it. I think because we're having we have families with fewer children, I think that directly relates to why we have fewer vocations in the United States. Per capita, families aren't as big. It's a crucial thing. I think we had many, many vocations came out of those big Catholic families, and I think that's a nurturing ground. When family life is lived and lived well, then you're going to see various vocations that are fruitfully come from that, be it called to religious life, called to the priesthood, called to generous single life, called to priesthood. So I think, and that's why we're getting, you know, we used to send missionary priests to other countries. Now we're getting them from Africa, from Asia, including India. So I would think that in some ways, part of it's because of the decline of Catholicism, manifested in part by the fewer children, and as well, and so you don't see parents encouraging kids to be priests like we used to as much, because maybe they only have one or two, and if they have one son, they want to have grandchildren. They look more on their temporal legacy instead of the eternal legacy of, you know, that would go with a son who is a priest. So I think those are some considerations, and I think sometimes, too, the formation of the Catholic schools, we've seen a decline in that, but I think wherever you see the Catholic faith lived and lived faithfully and joyfully, you see that there are a greater likelihood of priestly vocations and ones that are being lived and lived well. I think of my friend Father Wade Menezes, who is about 10 years younger than I. He's a priest at EWTN. Came out of a good Catholic family. We just see when the faith is lived and people are formed well, good vocations come from that.
Joe, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think what you quoted, the LA Times, that's probably self-reporting. Do you know how many married men are out there on the down low? I'm sure you know what that means, down low. I mean, come on, guys.
But how do we know if it's down low that it's true? I mean, if they're not reporting, right, brother? I mean, if you're saying it's on the down low, then that means it means indicative that we haven't a statistical verifiable proof. And so that's, Cy cited a statistic, and if we say down low, then it's more, well, we can't verify it. I just think...
Well, no, when I say you know what the down low is, right?
Well, typically down low is when you say that it's, you know, it's on the down low, it's on the hush, hush, wink, wink, we don't talk about it, or it's not discussed, or it's not reported
right.
Or lived.
They're out there cheating on their spouse with someone of the same sex. And it's so sad that people have to live their lives that way, but that's just the nature of the beast.
Well, I would say, you know, the big thing, Joe, is that with God's grace, and this is where I'd encourage you to look into a group, even though you say you're straight, but for other people you might run into in St. Louis area that have same-sex attraction, that there's a group called Courage, and it's not just the white knuckling, as I said at the beginning of the hour, but that these men are living chaste, single lives and joyfully, you know, that there is a possibility that one can, whether one is heterosexual or homosexual, that one can live a joyful, chaste life, as we see in many, many priests, and it's available for people who are single or married. And if we take advantage of the sacraments, we take advantage of a good interior life, we take advantage of spending time docilely as childlike, not childish, in front of the Blessed Sacrament in prayer, this life becomes not simply possible but preferable, and that we don't look for the fleeting, ephemeral pleasures that always takes much more than it gives, as I said at the top of the hour. Those things are defeating, and men who are cheating on their wives with other men are obviously being not faithful, and that obviously as well they're not being fulfilled, because if they were being truly fulfilled, they would be faithful to their vows and they could live chaste lives according to the state of life with God's grace, instead of seeking out ephemeral communion via sodomy, which by definition cannot bring two people together. And the last word I would say is, I wrote an essay during quote-unquote Pride Month about Gore Vidal. And Gore Vidal, you may recognize as the famous homosexual playwright, even he himself says sodomy divides, that he said he did not, that it was contrary to having sex with other men, was contrary and divisive of true friendship, and that's why after his initial encounter with his longstanding friend, that they did not have sex with each other. Unfortunately, they didn't live chaste otherwise, but that for their friendship to flourish, they lived chastely.
Joe, I got to say thanks for the call. Call back anytime. It's clear that you have a theory of why we have a shortage of priests. I did not find it compelling, but you're always welcome to call back and make the case again. Right back with more on the priesthood. If you have a question about the priesthood, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
This is Monsignor Arthur Calkins. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to speak on a Catholic radio station, which is so necessary for all of us to strengthen our faith. This is a great task of evangelization, and we thank God that Catholic radio is available in order to do so.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, this hour on the priesthood. Your calls are welcome. Let me go to Brayford, North Carolina. Wait, so why does somebody take the line away from me? I'm going to the line two. Okay, all right, I can't go to line two, Tom. I apologize. We'll go to line three. Doug is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Doug, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Well, thank you. So I'm an ordained Baptist minister. I was raised Catholic, felt a calling to the priesthood, with family differences, you know, you get bombarded with all this church is wrong and this church is good and this, that, and the other. Well, I was married, and became an ordained Baptist minister. I went through a divorce tragically, which in the Baptist circles is almost like the unpardonable sin. I started taking Christian counseling classes and eventually earned my doctorate in Christian counseling so I could help people avoid the pain of a divorce.
Yes. Wow.
Well, I started dating a Catholic lady, and she attends the Salvation Army Church with me, but we have started going back to Catholic Mass on Fridays.
Yeah.
And so I've wondered and flirted with the idea of, is it possible to come back to the church if it would have open arms? And I don't think necessarily to be a parish priest, but I could certainly be an associate pastor.
Yeah.
I think I could contribute.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to contradict what the caller just before me said, I think people are leaving ministry nowadays because it's so hard to stay employed as a full-time pastor, especially in Protestant churches. In a Baptist setting, the church is autonomous. I've been watching some Catholic history about the history of Catholicism in Maryland and in Pennsylvania on EWTN. And, you know, I watched an episode in Pennsylvania years ago. They had a problem with lay trustees.
Yeah.
And I could relate to lay trustee problems.
Sure.
And the church is being governed by boards.
Just I want to make sure I know. So you want to know, with your credentials as a Baptist minister,
if I could come back being a married priest.
Is that possible, Tom?
Possible.
Yeah. First of all, if you want to be married, first of all, you'd have to get the whole issue of your first marriage adjudicated, right? That is, whether you are free to marry the lady at the Salvation Army. In other words, that Jesus Christ takes marriage very seriously, and so that we would, if one is single for the Lord, that's more of a possibility. But if one, first of all, if one wants to be divorced and remarried in the church, one would have to receive an annulment first. There are possibilities where Protestant ministers have become Catholic priests. That's typically where it's an unusual situation. Father Ray Ryland, who was, God rest his soul, our former spiritual director, he was an Anglican Episcopalian, and he became a Catholic, and he was allowed as such. I know as another person, Four Gospel Church, who serves in the Diocese of Steubenville, Ohio. So I think you got two different questions. First of all, there's getting that whole issue of marriage adjudicated. Secondly, there's the issue of potentially becoming a priest. But here's the thing, Doug, you can serve otherwise in the church and maybe in full-time ministry without becoming an ordained priest. And I think there's a great group out there as well, the Coming Home Network, as far as it helps people who are of various heritage coming into full communion, various Protestant ministers to come into full communion to the church, and helps them to do so and helps them to transition into perhaps doing ministerial work, most likely, typically, not involving the priesthood, although sometimes that takes place. So I would encourage you to contact the Coming Home Network. They're online. And I'd also say encourage you with your friend to refrain from dating. Be friends. Treat each other as brother and sister until if and when you are free to marry in the church. God will honor that. He will bless that, and you will be that much stronger of a witness when that is all adjudicated in time, in God's good time and with God's good grace.
I was married for 18 years, and the woman decided she didn't want to be married. We were not married in the Catholic Church, so
that would still be
priest.
Yeah, that would still be required to look at his own, because church recognizes
church
valid marriages, and especially between two Christians. And I'm sorry to hear what she said, what you experienced, but yeah, that would be something that would have to be adjudicated. I'm not sure if you heard otherwise, but that would have to be examined by a church tribunal.
Right. So Doug.
But I have one other last question.
Please go. Go ahead. Let's do that. Go ahead.
And that is the possibility of working for a Catholic rehabilitation program. That's what I currently do, and I've seen the Lord work a lot.
Yeah,
very
able
high.
To disciple men. But I'm unfamiliar with where they're exactly at. I listened to a commercial earlier about the problems, addictions that go on Catholic radio earlier, and I was like, but they didn't really have a solution for where is a Catholic-ran facility that, you know, potentially...
You might check Catholic in Recovery. If you Google Catholic in Recovery, they might have... I don't know this for sure. But we could also help you with that, Doug, if you wanted to shoot us an email. I'll give you my email address if you just promise don't give it out to anybody, all right?
I promise.
You ready?
Radio.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
C. Kellett, C-K-E-L-L-E-T-T. @catholic.com. Please keep it to yourself. I don't want that getting out.
Right.
Okay.
Certainly will keep it to myself.
Yeah, but
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but you know what? You're going on Fridays to Mass. I don't even know if you know this. You're currently making one of the major devotions of the Catholic Church, a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So I would look up First Fridays and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because I think the Sacred Heart of Jesus is calling you into the Catholic Church.
Well, I just read a book, Catholic Now, that Father Domi didn't really appreciate. that was written by one of the Kennedys that had a lot of stories of various people who
look into
Catholic.
Into the Sacred Heart. I got to let you go because, and I will send you a book. If you, the early church was the Catholic Church, we're going to send it to you. You just got to give us an address. But find out about the Sacred Heart, because when you told me you're going to Mass on Fridays, I said the Sacred Heart of Jesus is calling this guy into the Catholic Church. Now, I could be wrong about that. I have been wrong about, I think, three times in my life I've been wrong about something.
Not on this one.
This could be the fourth
one. But
look into the Sacred Heart, and hang on. We'll send you the early church was the Catholic Church. Tom Nash, thank you. I'm sorry to rush you out of here, but thank you for two very fine hours.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Or 1 hour.
Folks, excuse me. One very fine hour. It felt like two, Tom.
Thank you.
Coming right up, William Albrecht on our mother, Queen Mary.